What's up, guys? Welcome to another episode of the show. Here this episode 630 of the show. I'm your host, Andrew.
Hey, guys, and I'm Danny.
And this is your source for tech, gaming, and entertainment news. We haven't been this way in a long time, so I'm kind of excited. Well, I'm kind of excited. Daniela, what's up?
A lot. Oh, my goodness. Life has been a whirlwind for me for the last 2 months. I've been a little bit hard on balancing everything, but at the same time, I've been really kind of enjoying it. I mean, I've been working a whole lot more, and I have like this new appreciation where I'm loving my 9-to-5 job. I mean, I know a lot of content creators, podcasters, the dream is to quit the 9-to-5. But I'm at the same time where like, yeah, that is a great dream. Not suited for everybody. So don't be shaming people who want to keep a 9-to-5 and also do this stuff. If you can handle, you have the energy, you can balance life to, you know, pursue your passions, content creator, whatever you fall underneath that umbrella and have a 9-to-5, great. And if your dream is that full time and making a living and find joy, that's great too. Don't be shaming people who want to, you know, who enjoy their 9-to-5, which I have been, even though it's kind of been really long hours. For weeks on end, I love my coworkers. I love my boss, so I'm pretty happy. And then and whatever time in between that I've, you know, had a break or a day off, I kind of been traveling, not really far, not yet. Hopefully E3, maybe. Maybe that'll be the next big trip. But just going to Wahoo, like I went to go see Deadmau5 during Halloween. I went to go see the comedian Jimmy O. Wang the day after Thanksgiving. And then this past weekend was my son's early birthday present. He turned 19. So
happy birthday,
took him to he took him over there. He got this whole new wardrobe. And sometimes like, you know, when you want to drop hints to people and you're just like, you don't want to be like out front with it because it's supposed to be kind of a surprise. So I was trying to get him to pack. Like, he's like, no, I don't need that much stuff. I'm just going to bring my backpack. And I'm like, why don't you just bring a slightly bigger, just in case, like bring like something. And then like, so he only brought his backpack for these 4 days. And I ended up buying him, you know, pretty, not his entire wardrobe, but you know, he has several outfits, several new pairs of kicks over there. He has all this stuff. And of course, he went shopping for himself. And then come the day that we have to leave, he's like, I don't have any room, which I was smart enough to pack an extra bag for him to put his stuff in.
That's dope.
Super mom. You know, it's like kind of this thing. So it was really, really nice. And then the day of his birthday, which was a couple days ago, we took him out to his favorite sushi restaurant with a few of his really close friends, which he's in that car phase 100%. So it's his crew, if you want to say that. And it was really nice getting to know, you know, the people he's been hanging out with, and they're good people. They might do some stupid things in their cars. Heaven forbid anything happens to any of them. But for me personally, I can't be a hypocrite. I've been there too. And you know, you just,
for sure,
you know, you can only tell them, be safe, make smart decisions. Something happens, you know what? You got to live with consequences, and hopefully they're not really life altering consequences, but to be smart about the decisions you make. And I think that's like anything you can tell any person who's growing up. I mean, you can't live your life in a giant bubble doing nothing with your
anybody's
life
brain that's still growing between whatever to 25, right?
Yeah, we're 30 or 38.
Right, it's different. As long as exactly. But no, yeah, that's dope.
Oh, the biggest thing I always tell my son is to make smart dumb decisions. And that's basically meaning like, you know, go out, adventure, get out of your bubble, but make sure it's a calculated thing. Like if there's something bad that's going to happen, whatever terrible thing could happen, can you live with those consequences? And if you can, you know what, just go for it. Like you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know, you know, what you may learn from it, who you may meet from it. Just be smart and safe about it at the same time. So can't always just, you know, like I was saying, you can't live in a bubble all the time afraid of what of the what ifs. You just kind of go for it. So it is. This is the last teen year. I don't even know what that says about me, because I was like looking at it and I did this Instagram little reel thing. I'm sorry, using
that. No, I saw it. That was dope.
And just to see, because that's funny. During dinner, my son's like, what were you doing when you were 19? I was having you, buddy. You. And then it dawned on me that my dad was my age when I had my son. And I'm like, why would I make my dad a grandparent at 38? I am barely an adult myself. So
that's a fact.
I'm very grateful. I do not have any grandchildren right now. but yeah, I mean, life has been very interesting. I've been playing games here and there. My Steam Deck has been pretty useful. I've been using my Switch a little bit more often too. But I think of all the things, that Xbox Game Pass on mobile has been amazing.
Xbox Game Pass. I know, you know, I was hating on it for a while, but it is what it is. I think it's really good what they've done, you know, with the pass for sure.
Yeah, that's kind of what I took on me. Like during those dead times, I just wanted to relax on one of my many trips over these last couple months is I've been using my phone, Xbox Game Pass. Not an Xbox controller, though. I've been using my PlayStation controller, which, you know, that's the beauty. Because I will always prefer the feeling of just the PlayStation controllers. I like, and we're going to be talking about some controllers later on today. But for me, first of all, my affordable controllers that I'm okay if I lose or I break. Sorry, the stock like PlayStation controllers. Okay, cool. You know what? You're not $100+ $200 controller. If something happens to you, you're
not like, yet. Anyway. They're coming up next year.
Yeah, but like that one's just really easy, and it's a little bit slimmer than the Xbox controller, so it's easier for me to pack and carry around. And I just kind of gravitate towards that, which that's like the beauty of gaming is that I can play Xbox games on my phone with a PlayStation controller.
Absolutely.
So that's kind of been like my life lately. How was Thanksgiving for you?
Great. I have no complaints. Everything's amazing. Just want to get back into games and content. That's my focus. Everything else, never backward, always forward. I'm just going to take that quote and just roll with it. So everything is amazing. You know, I'm grateful. And yeah, we're back in the saddle for another episode of The Show Radio. 631, Daniela. You believe that? It's crazy.
No, but I'm happy.
I'm happy too. It's great. So the Game Awards 2022, the good, the bad, and the why did this even happen there kind of moment. So we can talk about that. But dope announcements during the show. We're going to talk about the Pro BFG controller by Victrix, which is an amazing controller. Shout out to them for allowing us to check that controller out for sure. And yeah, I'm excited. I think those are the only two things that we have for this episode. So the Game Awards, Daniela, thoughts? What'd you think?
I wish I could have been home to watch it. I mean, I watched it live. I did, which I'm so grateful that I watched it on my phone. Not at work, but okay. Yeah, I decided not at work. I was at work, but you know, I had it there. Had my earbuds in. Very grateful that the Steam.tv browser worked, because man, I really, really wanted to win that Steam Deck. The fact that they were giving it out like every minute, I was all like, I might have a good chance, because I was there. The award show is pretty long. It is. So that's a lot of chances for like a lot of people. And I hope somebody, I know that sounds greedy because I do have a Steam Deck, but I was hoping that was going to be like our freebie Christmas gift for somebody.
Absolutely.
But no, I didn't get it, but I still enjoyed the show. I did later on, I think it was yesterday, I did rewatch it better in, you know, full screen mode on my monitor at home here. And I enjoyed it just as much as I did the first time watching it, even on my phone. I think Jeff Keighley does such an amazing job putting on this show and what he has done in his career. And I'm always astonished by him. I love what he does. He's definitely somebody to look up to work towards, to get on that level in your career. It doesn't matter if you're as a content creator, a developer, an art designer, composer, like it within the gaming community, that man has done so much and he continues to do so. So God protect him.
Absolutely.
It'd be a sad day if anything terrible ever happened to Jeff Keighley. But yeah, there's a lot. And you know, what's interesting is that as long as the show is, it actually was shorter compared to like last year's show. But it didn't feel like it. There's still so much stuff that maybe not as much, you know, interviews. They went through some of those awards pretty quickly.
And I appreciated that because it didn't need to drag out. I think we got 2.5 hours, give or take. And I know they did the pre-show, which was pretty dope as well. And I do agree with you. Everything that the show is by way of production is amazing. Every year it gets better. And I do agree with that.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm going to get some hate for this. There's only one part of it that kind of dragged out. And,
okay. Do you want to go into that?
Yeah, maybe we could. So Chris Judge.
Okay, I knew you were going to go there.
Of all shows, like I was thinking about it, like he gave his speech, his award speech there started off great. And then after a while, I'm like, this is why the Oscars and the Emmys have the playoff music to give you a warning of, okay,
it's time.
We have a whole show to go on over here. But it was a beautiful story too at the same time. And I'm like, this is just the first award.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead. I'll give thoughts after. Go ahead.
But it was well deserved. And you know, he's a great voice actor. He brings a lot of life to his characters, and you can tell he has a lot of passion, a lot of love, and there were some very touching moments in that. But I did notice after him, every award that anybody came up to accept, there was playoff music.
There was playoff music, yeah. He helped out with that.
So, go ahead with your thoughts.
No, I think it's one of those things where I'm trying to give a little bit more grace in certain areas, right? And going through the process of creating a game, not seeing a lot of individuals for a length of time, right? And getting recognized for something that you've done in a cocoon, if you will, right? And then now it's being presented and shared among all the individuals who are playing the game all over the world. And you have a lot to say because you are grinding that process to get to this place where you're being recognized for something so amazing in a lot of ways, right? So I get that portion of it. But my thing is, this is also not the first time you've been on stage in this capacity, right? So that's where I'm kind of like, you know, I'm trying to draw the line between those two things. Yes, this was an amazing title. Yes, you worked hard to get to this place. There were challenges along the way. And we could say that for every single title that was presented at the show, right? So I think that's where I'm trying to go with that. I'll land there. Go ahead, Daniela. It's back to you.
And like every speech after that was, you know, pretty short, pretty sweet. And you know, thanking their teams, and it was lovely. I loved all of the stuff, all of the, I guess, speeches that were given. I think it got to the point though, where I felt like, I think pretty like the first half, like if God of War was on that list, like this is the God of War Ragnarok award, sure.
Like, yeah,
come on. And the thing's like, oh man, your game wasn't out as long as these other games. Did enough people really get to experience it enough to accurately say that? Like, I feel like there should be a cutoff point. So if the Game Awards in December, I think it's always going to be in December now. I feel like there should be like a cutoff point for the games, like October. Like, okay, any games between October of last year to this year. Because you have to understand, like, for me at least, how much of the community has gotten to really fully take in the game. Rather than you've been out for like a month before we got a vote, you're thrown up there already.
Yeah, that's always been interesting. Like, how do you standardize that process? I don't know, but I do agree with you. It seems like the game came out, what, third quarter or fourth quarter of this year?
Fourth.
Recently, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and how does it steal the show? Well, it has a great backing already. This is not the first version of the game. So I think because of that, there's already a pull for what the continuation of the story is going to be. So it is expected that God of War is going to do well because of the type of game it is and the history and the magnitude of the characters and the voice actors and all that stuff. So I think it's fair to say that even if there was a cutoff, you know, people will still lean heavily on whatever that particular thing is. Like Elden Ring came out earlier this year, right?
Yes.
I don't know if it's first or second quarter or whatever. But look how it got Game of the Year, which was, you know, pretty amazing to see. But there were a lot of announcements, too, and some rebranding, even in the structure of how certain things are going to be named. But I do agree with you. There should be a standardization process for the gaming industry when they're voting on stuff, for sure.
Yeah, because I'm looking at it. So the actual date for God of War Ragnarok was November 9th. And they, Game Awards was December 8th. So just like a month, we're just going to say a month. But the voting was open like what, a couple weeks before the show. So you're going to tell me like in that 2 week period, people had time to play, experience and put all this stuff into it to be able to vote on it. I don't know. Like, I'm not saying it didn't deserve it, but I'm not too sure if it deserved it for this year, this award show, considering like it's going to be the freshest thing in a lot of people's minds.
Right.
Which obviously, I mean, Elden Ring did win, like you were saying, Game of the Year. I think a game that came out earlier in the year has had that long lasting impression on people to be memorable, to deserve that, to vote on it. It says a whole lot more, to at least to me, than, you know, God of War. I'm saying it's a bad game, not saying it's a bad experience, or doesn't deserve any awards, is the freshest thing. But it just came out.
Yeah, and then distribution, even for how it was presented too, like the outlets that got it and the mass production and visibility of those outlets for us to receive, like, you know, the information from the game, and then, you know, the live streamers and all that stuff. Yeah, it's a tough thing. It's a tough thing. But I think that if it was a game that was just introduced, like, you know, even when you look at A Plague Tale, which is, this is the second game, you know, the soundtrack is amazing. The voice acting is amazing. That has, even if it came out fourth quarter of this year and it got a lot of, you know, love and applause and all that stuff, I think everybody would be okay with that too, because of the history of the first game and how well that did. And I think that that's what we're seeing a lot of folks lean on. I don't think Call of Duty won anything this year, right? Or Destiny, no, or anything like that. Right. I don't remember that's them winning anything. Yeah. And it definitely feels like a first, but my thing is just like, you know, whether you looked at like a Plague Tale, that experience, or even God of War, because the history and the great storytelling in those games, to continue into the second game, even if they came out at the beginning of November and got nominated and won a lot of things. I think most of the community would be okay with that.
Well, the one thing that I am within my mind of all the awards is that I wish there were more categories for indie games, or at least indie games got voted a little bit more. I'm grateful. Like, Stray did amazing. Stray was nominated. Absolutely. Stray won a few of those categories. But there's only really one category dedicated for indie games. And I'm just like, I feel there's far more indie games than there are AAA titles. But they're so good. Like, they're still not taken as seriously. I mean, it's getting up there. It really is. The quality, like the popularity, I guess you can say, of certain indie titles is definitely getting up there, that people are paying more attention to indie titles that come out because they're such like little hidden gems that really stand out. Stray is definitely one of them. Hellblade, that was definitely in there. I just wish that if there's anything about the Game Awards show that I wish there was more of, or possibilities is for indie studios to get up there a little bit more, more opportunities, have something. Which they did add a new category, the film adaptation, best film adaptation. That was a new category for this year because we have a lot of stuff going over to, you know, TV, movies. So that's pretty awesome. Even in the animated stuff. So, I mean, you can add it. I know you can, Jeff Keighley. I know you can.
Yeah. And I think that's the other thing, too. Like, we've seen this show improve, like, tremendously over the last, you know, couple of years. And I think that even this one, watching it, the only thing, if I had a complaint, the only thing I would complain about is the fact that there were bots, you know, grabbing the Steam Decks and winning them, right? Outside of that.
Yes.
Outside of that, I mean, and then the last thing that happened before the show ended. But outside of that, there wasn't really anything to complain. You know, we had some amazing inspiration with the flute guy. That was a thing, right? You know, and he even did a post on social media just, you know, appreciating all the love that, you know, was being received and everything. So I mean, the show was great. The show was great. And then, you know, dope announcements, which we'll talk about in a few. But there was a lot to be excited for.
The live performances were awesome. Halsey was beautiful. Her singing and bringing
unexpected,
into, you know, Diablo 4. But it was
did
nice.
You know?
I loved it. I think he started. He mentioned at the beginning.
Didn't
he didn't say it was for Diablo. He just said that, you know, Halsey would be performing. And then the orchestra, always amazing. Like they always only get a done. Few weeks before to really practice to put on that show. Because obviously, you know, you don't know who's going to be nominated for Game of the Year. And then when they finally get it, okay, here's these like four or five games. Let's go and play music
pros.
On them and practice.
I mean, they're pros. Yeah. Those folks, man, you know, goosebumps. You know, I was getting goosebumps, you know, from where I was just listening. They're pros, you know. It was good.
So what games stuck out to you?
I don't know. Armored Core, I saw that. I thought that was interesting. You know, when I saw the stuff for Armored Core, Horizon Forbidden West, Horizon anything, I've been interested in. I still haven't played any Horizon anything. The fact that Idris Elba is going to be in Cyberpunk, that's intriguing to me because I like Idris Elba and his movies and all the things that he's done, you know, as an actor. And he used to DJ. I don't know if he still does, but that's a fun fact. And then, I mean, so I'll stop there. What about you? What did you like? I know one of them. I know one of them, but go ahead. What'd you like?
So clearly the Death Stranding too. We're just going to start off with that. That was
okay. There you go.
That was such a great, great surprise.
What'd you think of the rebranding of the name?
To be honest, I don't think it really changed my
subtle.
Opinion about it. It's subtle, but it's like, I think as long as the creative process is still there, the quality is still there and still enjoyable, you can name yourself anything. You can change it to whatever you want. You want to be called Paper Towels? Paper Towel Studio? Cool. You can be it.
Okay.
I don't even care if you want to call yourself Toilet Paper Studio and you're just an empty toilet paper roll for your brand logo. if your game quality is there, the creative decisions are all on point, and it's a beautiful story, a beautiful game, I'll play it. Call yourself, name yourself, whatever you want. Okay. I'll call you whatever you want. I mean, we don't know what the inner workings are behind that. But as a consumer, as a gamer, as a fan, great experience. Don't matter. You can be a poop emoji for all I care.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So that definitely Death Stranding 2. But as far as new games that were announced, Hellboy. What was it? Word of
Surprising.
Yeah, I can't even remember. Hellboy. I don't want to screw up this name. I have it written down. You know how ridiculous I was working. I have my little notes I was taking of stuff that I have.
That's a lot of notes too.
Because it was, oh my God, there were so many things I loved. Like, and it, you know what? It started off as like, I'm going to write notes and little things. And then it turned into like, oh, I want to look into this game. I like this game.
Right.
Oh, this looks cool. Yeah, Hellboy then announced it, which is a cel-shaded looking game, and the way that they introduced it, the fighting, that looked pretty fantastic. And I want to get my Web of Word. Weird.
Mm-hmm. I say that word. One was
I don't know.
I could be wrong on that too, but
Hades 2, that announcement looked really amazing. That looked like a lot
weird
of fun.
Would be EI.
Yeah, but then it's a Y.
Okay.
Tomato, tomato.
It might be one of those days.
The Cyberpunk DLC, like you're saying, Idris Elba, that was like, that was really unexpected. You know what? Okay, you know what was really unexpected and had to deal with was the different actors they had it. First, I started off with Al Pacino. They brought him out, and I would have never thought Al Pacino would ever be at a Game Awards show. And I, you know what I loved about it is that as the Game Awards is that it's very professionally put on, and it's beautiful, it's enjoyable. But there's a certain type of rawness to it that it's like really enjoyable, because like you have Al Pacino there where you can tell it's not like it's his first rodeo. But he's just like open, raw, and honest. And he's like, you know what? Having a hard time reading this teleprompter.
Absolutely. No, it was good. It was good to see that.
And then who did they have come out? I'm like drawing a blank on the actors' names, the three of them, when they're introducing Crime Boss.
Yeah, Crime Boss looks like something I definitely want to check out for sure.
Yeah, so that game in itself, which was very surprising to me. So it's not like it's a new thing for us to see actors, you know, transitioning to the video game world over here. But that game seems to have a very star-studded cast tied to it. So, what was the name? It's, I mean, they even had Vanilla Ice in it. And then they closed it out with, like, Chuck Norris. And then it's like, you had Danny Trejo in there. You had Danny Glover in there. I was like, what is this game? Because these are some fantastic actors that you're tying into these things that make great action film. Okay, I can't say Vanilla Ice makes great action films, but everybody else does. And then you have Vanilla Ice where I'm like, I don't know where you fit in, but I'm totally cool with it.
He's there. Right. Right.
You're there. Now, it gave me... I love the rest of this cast.
It gave me the like a GTA DLC vibe. That's a big game.
Which that isn't a bad thing either.
Which is no, it's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. No.
It's just that was a nice little surprise for me. Like I was like, I wasn't expecting it. I mean, it's Chuck Norris. Next best thing you can probably have in there is if, you know, some reason they have a DLC story to add on to Crime Boss, which is probably like years down the line here, and they just threw in Jackie Chan for whatever reason. If there's a storyline where I can have Jackie Chan and Chuck Norris fighting, sold.
I'm good with that. Yeah, I'm good with that. Put Donnie Yen in there at some point or whatever else you need to add. Or the guy that played the the Bruce, it wasn't a Bruce Lee story, but it was inspired by Bruce Lee. It was on Cinemax or something like that. I can't think of the name of that particular show. That guy's a great actor too. I just watched a movie when he was in it, and I'm drawing a blank right now. But the show was really good. I really enjoyed everything about the show, and even Castlevania and Dead Cells, which that was amazing.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Also, can I just get that as an animated series? Period. No, not just Castlevania, but just like the art style and everything, that how they made that so exciting. Introducing that, I loved it. I just make a whole story in a short Netflix series of just that.
Yeah, it was really good. So Armored Core, what else? What else we saw?
Final Fantasy 16.
Final Fantasy 16, absolutely.
Oh, Yoshi P, yes. That looked really good.
What about Blue Protocol?
We're just all over the place. There's just so much excitement.
It's so much excitement. Blue Protocol, what'd you think of that? Amazon, it looks like a Genshin Impact competitor. What do you think about that?
It got my interest peaked. So I am going to be paying attention to it. But I'm not sure yet.
Why are you not sure? I'm gonna push a little bit. Why are you not sure? Because Amazon's in it or what? What's up?
Yes.
Talk to me.
Yes. I mean, I know for many years I boasted about Amazon Game Studios, and I still love them. Well, I still love a lot of people who are like in the team of Amazon Game Studios. But right now, they only have one game that is out, and so many that got canceled or dropped or failed. And I'm like,
but this looks good.
Look really
looks good,
but you're not. But the saving grace on this is their hands isn't fully in it.
Right. Correct.
They're just a part of the process. So I'm like, all right, there is good hope for this. There's good hope for Blue Protocol. It looks great. It looks like it's something I'd be interested in. I'm just going to pay attention to it because I'm tired of falling in love with games that Amazon is attached to, and then it's taken away from me.
Right.
That's what I'm like. I don't want any more heartbreak. I can't.
Okay. But it looks good. It looks good.
It does.
Very promising.
The one that I think is going to be a fan favorite, that's going to have a very strong fan base to it. This is me making a prediction here, was Judas.
Really?
Judas is the one.
I don't even remember Judas. I remember Dune, but I don't remember Judas. I don't know why that escapes me, but go ahead.
Judas, because it's not exactly one of the titles that you would personally play, but it's coming from the creatives for BioShock, which it definitely has BioShock vibes to it, and BioShock has such a great fan base. Players love it, they want more of it, and they constantly go back to it. So seeing Judas, I think, is definitely going to be that game that fills that for BioShock players. And it looked great. Like, so you start off with like the, you know, like on this disintegrating like looking little starship there, and it's got that horror vibes to it, but like the sci-fi thing, and there's not a whole lot of details. So you can pretty much only go off of like this world premiere trailer that they put out. So I think it's going to definitely fill that space for BioShock players.
Okay. Well, I mean, shout outs to them. You know, that's dope. What did you think about the Dune Awakening? How'd you feel about that?
I don't know.
How did you not feel about it?
it's interesting. So the one part of me and all of the, you know, great geekdom of everything is Dune is the one thing that has always kind of like eluded me.
Okay.
And it's probably for the most ridiculous reason at this point in my life. Because my dad was a huge Dune fan. He'd read their books. He was really into it. So when they came out of the movie and all this other stuff, like I still even haven't even watched the movie. I can't say
the
why.
Recent one.
I have no specific grace. Yeah.
Okay.
And I really want to, but I think it's just one of those that I don't know, things that just completely just passed on me. And originally, okay. when I was younger, because my dad was really into this, it's like at 16 years old, I'm like, I don't want to like the same things as my dad does. That's just weird. And like, I never really got past that. But now it's like, all right, that's a little bit petty and ridiculous, because I know Dune is a great universe.
For sure. Yeah.
And it's not like it's anything new. It's been out there for like a while now. So like looking at the game, and I was like, at some point I have to give this universe a try.
You have
to. What is wrong with you, Danny? Like, come on.
You have to. You have to. I mean, you have that. Then you have Star Wars.
But it did look good. It did look good.
Yeah, it did look good. Hades. You had Star Wars Jedi Survivor. What'd you think of Star Wars?
Star Wars is one universe where I think I'm just happy just being a fan of the movies. I've never really dived into the video games.
Okay.
I'm not saying it looked bad. I just don't know what it is that when it comes to anything past the movies, I don't know where my interest goes. I love the movies. I love the fandom. I will never say, because of that, I'm not going to say I'm like, I'm a huge integral part and huge Star Wars fan. I love the movies. I love all the experiences I have. I loved all the memories I have tied to it. But when it comes down to like games, I don't know what it is. I think the only Star Wars game I've ever played is the Legos one.
Okay. Let's see if we're missing anything.
And the thing is I love the actor. So I'm like, what is, I don't know.
Yeah, he came out with the
lightsaber
and everything. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was dope. That was pretty dope. Okay, so Hades 2.
I should play Hades 1.
Okay.
I should. I have it. I believe I have it.
You're funny. Okay, so Suicide Squad, Kevin Conroy, one last time, Kevin.
I seriously teared up when...
Yeah, one for the road. Yeah.
When Batman dropped in and to hear his voice again.
Yeah.
It's not like I can't go back and watch clips or movies that Kevin Conroy has voiced again, but you know he's done that in the past, and you know, you can always revisit that. But then when he passed away, thinking that you would never hear his voice in something new again. That was heartbreaking, but to see Suicide Squad kill the Justice League in that trailer, and you see him drop in and you hear his voice, like my heart hurt in happiness and in sadness, because I was like, I just did not think that I would hear his voice in anything new ever again. And yeah. I teared up. I really did. And it was just so beautiful and touching to hear him say, you know, I am vengeance again. Like, not even gonna lie, that's the only time I think I paused the live stream. I had to walk away for a little bit because I wanted to take that in. I wanted really much to take that in and to appreciate that, because that man has brought so much to life for us as a kid, as adults. I don't care if the game is even bad. I'm going to play it just so I can hear his voice.
So, man, I want to take like a... I want to go way left field with this for a second. I don't know if I should, though. Let me think for a second. Well, I'll just ask this question. Do you think we take people's voices for granted?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. You want to elaborate on that a little bit?
Well, Kevin Conroy is definitely one of those examples when you think like when somebody has been a part of your life, even if it's a voice actor and that you're so used to, you grew up with him from, I want to say, I think I was in third or fourth grade. I don't know how old that is, seven. That's the majority of my life. And you hear this voice actor mainly play Batman. And then you know, you recognize him in other projects that he's done. And you just have this idea that he's always going to be Batman. Whatever Batman thing comes out, you know, he's at the top of the board to try to get him on. If not, it's going to be Travis Baker. But to get to that point where you're not going to hear him anymore, that hurts. And even people in your life that you're so used to, you never know what's going to happen in anybody's life. Like, I could literally be gone tomorrow. But
for sure,
you don't realize how much you miss or you want to hear that person's voice again until you can't.
Right.
Andrea, she was clearly making huge strides in her voice acting career and in what she was doing and what she was passionate about. On her birthday, this is like a bit ago, on her Facebook page, there was somebody that posted a YouTube video, and it was on the last project that she was working on in the studio, put together something for her in memory of her. And just to hear her voice again was just, I thought I never would hear her again. And I cried. I think I was cleaning my house. And I just to hear her was just beautiful. So yeah, I think we do take those things for granted, whether it be your favorite voice actor to your, you know, family members, to friends, that just, even if your voice is irritating to somebody, or not to somebody, to some people, and it's always usually most people don't like the sound of their own voice, to someone else, it is beautiful to them. It is something that they love, that they hold endearing, that they appreciate, and that you don't, like, that simple thing, you don't realize how much it's going to be missed. Yeah, you're going to miss somebody's hug. They're going to miss something there. But if you're, you know, you don't have that relationship where you can always easily hug that person, but you can always call them. It's even just hearing them always brings like this calm, peace, love to your life. I think the voice, the human voice from anybody meaningful and impactful in your life is something that is definitely we take for granted. You gotta ask me serious questions over here, bring tears in my eyes.
We're not going to end here, so we're going to talk about that thing that happened at the end, and then I'm going to talk about one more game, and then from there we'll shift to the Pro BFG controller. So, okay, so this kid, let's just talk about that. That was an interesting situation, and I guess I'll frame it in this way. He knew exactly what he was doing, especially how he was, I had to go back and watch it. How he kept repositioning himself according to where the camera was based on what was happening in the conversation when the individuals from the Elden Ring team were getting ready to receive their award. He kept mapping out and readjusting himself and waiting for the right time to say whatever he was going to say. And then he said what he said. So that's kind of like, you know, for the individuals who didn't watch it or just been hearing about the kid that disrupted the last major moment, which was the game of the year moment for the Elden Ring team. Daniela, go ahead.
It's like he tried to Kanye the situation over there. But and not recent Kanye, it's like the Taylor Swift Kanye. No, it's interesting because I had to rewatch that again. It was weird because the first time I watched it, like, you didn't think anything too suspicious about it. But then you see, like, when they are walking up, like, he also stands up from the audience. You know, he pats one of the devs on the back and walks up. So you think nothing of it. Like, oh, this guy, kid, somewhere in the team. I don't know. Maybe it's one of their kids or, I don't know, make a wish kid that they're helping out. I have no clue.
You right, right. Make up part of the team. Sports. Exactly. Exactly. Exactly.
And then when he says like he something about, you know, I want to dedicate this nomination to Bill Clinton, then you're like, wait, what? And then you see the rest of the team like look at him. They don't really necessarily stop him. Like, what do you do in that situation? You're like, well, we're already here. Just like let him do whatever he's going to do. But as he, you know, when he does that pan out, you can see the security kind of making their way. Like, why didn't they do that sooner?
Right. I'm wondering if they didn't know. Right. I don't know. But my thing is like anything could happen on it. Like you don't know the motivation of the person. Right. So you're standing like it looks like he's standing 4 or 5 feet back from the group that are near the microphone. So to me, that was kind of weird. Like when you start, you know, watching it a little bit closer. Right. Then he kept looking at the camera. Or whichever camera that was focusing on the stage to see where he was positioned. And he looked at it a couple of times to readjust himself where he was. Then just waiting for the right moment, you know, tension rising and, you know, anxiety or whatever, you know, like, you know, moving his hand, you know, around and just trying to get to the right time where as they're leaving to make, you know, the trolling moment, whatever you want to call it, that he did for such an award. And such a great moment for the Elden Ring team. So it looks bad on Jeff Keighley, right?
Yeah, which you can see when Jeff is doing the closing out thing. There's a few seconds of just like irritation there.
Right. This
but
was
then he like, you know, collected himself pretty quickly too.
Exactly. Exactly. Because it's like it's almost perfect. Like to me, this was the most perfect show since we've been watching it, right? Let's be honest. I know people are going to say, well, you know, it didn't have this, it didn't have that. Xbox wasn't a big presence, you know, blah, 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 right? Great. But in terms of like a show that was super well done, produced, I'm sure there was a lot of money that went into making a show that great for us to enjoy and critique it from afar. We're going to critique everything anyway, right? But that last moment was... you know, I'm sure it was extremely frustrating for not only, you know, disrespecting the Elden Ring team for doing that, ruining a moment for them that you can never get back, right? You can't rerun that, right? So I think those things, I'm sure they're going to amp up security. And now it's like, if you know you're going to win this award, you know, just let us know who are the individuals that are going to go up with you. So now there's going to be different security measures that are going to be in place just to make sure we have a perfect, perfect show next year, right? 2023 and beyond. So it's great. Yes, Xbox didn't make a presence, a big presence there, but we know that we all enjoyed the show. And especially watching something on Steam, I never do that, right? And it gave me an opportunity to see what that platform was like. And it was pretty, I mean, for the most part, it ran pretty well. There was one, outside of one hiccup for me on my side, that could be me, but it was pretty smooth. You know, everything went really well with that. And I think that, you know, overall, I think the show was great. So we find out not too long after that he was arrested based on a tweet that Jeff Keighley put out. And I don't know, I haven't heard anything else from there. Any more thoughts on that?
So I guess I am going to go there. It's good to look at it on a lighter side of it, that this kid was trolling, trying to look for his 15 minutes of irritating fame. But with that being said, and the environment that we're living in, and when he's looking a little bit antsy, kind of shifting around, paying attention, you really don't know what a person's intentions are. Especially since, like, it's not exactly new, but I think the aggression is definitely a little bit more heightened this year about how aggressive people feel entitled to threaten developers, their families, their livelihood, their life, everything like that. I don't have any trust for anybody for those things. So I'm glad it was just, I'm glad it was just a trolling moment in this kid's life. But yeah, security measures definitely is probably going to be a lot different for next year, going forward after that, because you don't know anybody's intentions. Right. And that would have been absolutely terrible, especially I think it was like earlier this year or maybe it was last year. You know, you had people, you had that one person who live streamed shooting up a grocery store. You know, it's like you don't know. And I'm sorry that I can't have that as much faith as I really, really want to within the human race here. Sometimes in those situations, it's just it sucks and it's really sad. That's where your mind goes to. But to be safe, to be protective, it's sad that we have to think about those things.
Yeah, it's really tough, which is why like there is like few and far in between. You meet somebody over the internet and then you build a trust and you actually meet face to face. And it's actually a continuation of what you saw online. But these days, me personally, it's tough for me to trust anybody online about anything and just focus on protecting me, my family, and those that I love, and then just keep it moving. Be respectful with everybody. Wish everybody well, because you don't know if the person's going to end up at your front door, you know, for World War III, right? So you just be nice to everybody. Wish everybody well and just keep it moving. But yeah, that was an interesting moment that you could have tackled somebody on stage. It could have been, you know, weird, you know, take the mic and run away with it. I don't know, you know, whatever the trolling could have been. Like, we could think of all different scenarios that it could have been with the stuff. But yeah, overall, I think the show was amazing.
Oh yeah, it was definitely amazing. I don't know about this kid's life choices though. If you're going to be trolling though, like Bill Clinton, of all things,
yeah,
just that's what came to your mind, Bill Clinton. And then of all people to troll and mess around with, Jeff Keighley.
Yeah,
I hope you don't want to be a full-time content creator.
First of all,
if you don't know, jumping into the gaming side of this as a creator, you don't make anybody mad. If they have control over keys or anything like that, they talk to everybody. Everybody shares information. Everybody tells you who's a good creator to work with and who isn't. They all talk. And the people who are the keepers of the, you know, the great stream boxes that get sent out for PR or the keys and giving you access, they're great people. But on the great scale of the tree here, Jeff Keighley is up here. That man can make sure you get nothing, nowhere. You might as well go through some plastic surgery, change your name, and hopefully you get a new social security number to even have a chance. So right. Of all people to troll, Jeff Keighley isn't one of them.
Yeah, for sure. He's well connected, well respected throughout the entire industry and, you know, outside the industry too, you know, because he's done a lot of work outside the industry as well. So yeah, that was a bad move, right? Bad decision. But Flute Guy. We have Flute Guy.
You do have Flute Guy. He did the right thing.
He did the right thing. He inspired many of us.
Yep. And this is where we go back to the very beginning of the conversation of this show here. Make smart, dumb decisions. That was a dumb, dumb decision.
Yeah. Flute Guy was good. Flute Guy definitely inspired us, though. We had a good time with Flute Guy.
Yes, he did. He did. It was a really great show overall. I think it was really well done, like it is every year. Every year gets better. Yes, it was near perfect, but every show, that perfection gets better and it becomes more enjoyable. For sure. And we look forward to it every single year. This next year is going to be the 10-year anniversary. That is amazing. And you know, something that's that before the Game Awards show, I think it was like maybe 4 or 5 days before, somebody put out a tweet. I don't remember who it was. I don't know if it was retweeted, but it was like a quick glimpse. I was like really quick come and go on my social media here, where somebody posted, they tweeted, it's like, oh, the Game Awards, where we find out that gamers have no drip.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was funny, which was really cool to see. Oh my goodness, I wish I could remember or I favorited it or bookmarked it. I was trying to find where it was. I'm probably gonna have to stalk through Godfrey's Twitter thing, because I know he was in on it. And he replied back to it, but there was a journalist that was, you know, requesting and putting out for, you know, the people who attended the show about their outfits, you know, where they are, where they're working. And she did this really great article about, you know, best dress and different outfits and how everybody looks, which gives it that really authentic entertainment type of, you know, award show that the vast majority of the world is used to when it comes to the Oscars, comes to the Emmys, the Met Gala. Everybody's talking about, yes, we're going there for awards, going for this certain thing, but their outfits are always talked about. So I can very easily see, maybe not next year, but over the course of probably the next 5 years, where you're going to have content creators, people who have made up there, who are hiring, you know, stylists to dress them, to be the best dressed, to look this. And you're going to have, you know, this is where you're going to have different, you know, clothes designers coming in, like, I want to dress you. You're, like, the wardrobe getting that big to get that to that point. For sure. And I love that this was like the first article that I've gotten to see that got to display a lot of the people within our industry, no matter what they're doing, to show off their style and to really talk about it. And I believe, you know, Danny and his wife, Ryan, they made it on that list. They looked really great. They had this entire 70s vibe going on. Yeah, so I can see, you know, how our media and all these different entertainments are starting to collide together. And I think that's actually really cool.
Yeah, it is really cool. I say 2 years. 2 years.
2 years,
because
you think
the article,
so?
Yeah, I think the outlet is big enough. I think that was Kotaku article. I don't remember her name, who did the article, but I think it was Kotaku. And yeah, I say within 2 years that article is going to circulate. That's a big outlet, and people are going to start paying attention to what they wear to these events, and especially with, you know, picture opportunity, and even send it to those outlets to even form articles for that. 2 years. And that's still a long time. You're talking about two major production preparation years, 2023, 2024. I mean, that could be like a standard for individuals, especially if they're already in the LA area. They're probably going to start preparing for that. Maybe, you know, August into the winter, you know, because they know that show is coming up, you know, which stylist that they want to use and all that stuff. So I say, you know, within 2 years. Now, what's interesting about that, though, is it's always been a conversation on Twitter on who's going to wear what. And Jeff Keighley has always had conversations about what shoes he was going to wear within the last, I would say, couple of years. I've been seeing, this is the shoe I'm going to wear and can't wait to show you what shoe I'm going to wear for this particular event. So it's been a conversation on social media. Now that we have actual pieces being written about them, it's going to become, you know, more. And I definitely agree with you. It's going to become more popular, but I say within 2 years.
Senior editor of Kotaku, Alyssa Marcant. I'm so sorry for ruining your last name, but yeah, she is the one who reached out. I found her Twitter, and it was a really great article about, you
yeah
know,
shout outs to her for sure. Yeah, it's going to be a norm
at the Game Awards. So
it's going to be a norm, and I don't see it, you know, if it is going to be adopted very, very shortly, because we're spending more time on these websites now, as we're creating content, right? And the TikToks and IGs of the world, as we're consuming stuff, we're going to be seeing those things more often. You're going to see reels about them. So I think that that's going to be an adoption within 2 years, you know, very, 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 very soon. I didn't forget to mention this. I wanted to wait because we had some different moments, you know, in this conversation. Street Fighter VI. Got to talk about that.
That looks like fun. I wasn't there for the mini games. I am terrible. Yeah. I don't know how to reframe data. I'm terrible at those things. Doesn't mean that I don't like I playing don't, them.
Yeah.
No, I really do.
Yeah.
But those mini games look fun. The art style and direction that they're taking with this game is definitely. I don't know. I love how bright and colorful and lively it is. It brings a whole different life to the game overall. And then they're introducing all these other different things and elements and the new characters that they've announced. I was like, this looks like a lot of fun. That even someone like me, a pleb who just button mashes, I'm terrible. And that's even saying something for somebody who used to date somebody who competed, you know, professionally. I'm terrible. I don't try to explain Framed at it to me and all that other stuff.
Yeah.
If I can
I don't
just
know
play
anything about that.
Mention and have fun, that's more than enough for me. That's all I want from the experience. I don't care if I ever make leaderboards, but this game looks like just a great overall game to play. And it's, you know, what it reminded me of is just like a fun arcade game. You just like quickly get in there, enjoy your time, come back out. Is it going to be a day one for me because of that? No, because I'm not a fighter type of person.
Yeah, it's definitely getting back to basics. You know, I think they mentioned that when they were talking about the game before. And Street Fighter has always been trying to push things forward, but yet still understanding what's happening in the culture. And I think they're doing that with Street Fighter VI. So it's going to be exciting to see what they do with the title. Did they say June, I think, next year?
Yeah.
For the drop? June 2nd. Yeah. So that's going to be dope. And even when they started changing the way the characters look in Street Fighter 4, and then you had Street Fighter 3, people were kind of turned off about it. But there's always going to be a group of individuals in the fighting game community that's going to love everything that Street Fighter has, because it gives them an opportunity to either learn new things about the series. Or new characters. There's that too. So I think that Street Fighter 6 is going to be dope, and it's going to welcome new individuals to play it a little bit easier too. So yeah, it was a good show. Any other thoughts on the show?
No, I look forward to it, but you know what? I'm just going to try to manifest this. I really want to be there for the 10 year. I really want to attend the Game Awards for next year. So just manifest that and put that out into the universe. Work towards
put that. Put that out. That was a dope show. So shout outs to everyone involved to put that great show together. And of course, Jeff Keighley for everything that he's done for the gaming industry and community for us to watch such an amazing show in so many ways, right? So I love what they're doing there. So last but not least, the controller market is prime, right? Beautiful control there, Daniela. It is prime. And I think that I've had some interesting thoughts about controllers in the last couple of weeks as it relates to what to expect from these controllers. We know that PlayStation is releasing one. We know Razer is getting ready to release one as well. And we know that the technology in the controllers have changed over the years. And some of them are, there's a resurgence of things that are happening in the controller market, especially with, you know, certain technologies like Hall Effect sticks, where they don't wear out and stuff like that. So why is that important? Keyboard and mouse has been a thing for a lot of years. People love that. People love their keyboard and mouse, and that's absolutely fantastic. But when it comes to the controllers, there's always been this thing about, well, the controller is not as great as the keyboard and mouse. In terms of longevity, that's been true for some time until recently, right? So when you look at the Dreamcast controller, it has it had the Hall Effect type of sticks in it, which is why that controller never wore out. We saw the same kind of technology, if you want to call it that, in a PS3 controller. We've seen the same technology recently introduced in the GillyKit controller. We've seen the same technology introduced in the 8-bit Do controller as a second option. So you have two different products where you can choose the actual Hall Effects in that particular thing. And then we have other controllers coming out, and they're coming out like the Victrix Pro BFG, which we're going to talk about today, right? So this controller is amazing. Danielle, I'll take it from here.
So I actually have been bringing this around with me. It's been like a lot of fun. There's only one thing I haven't been able to test with it yet, but My entire thing about this controller is I love the way that it looks, but it's the customization for it. 100%. That is the number one thing that really sets this apart. I know there's controllers out there that when you hear like, oh, you can customize this, you can do that. No, not on this level. Like the fact that you can change from like, you know, the fighting pad to where your directional is to where your joysticks are and have it be so versatile like that. It's leagues beyond what other people or what other controllers are saying is customizable. But that is also personal preference too. So I am very happy with this. I love the way that it felt. I tried it with my my PS5. I did not try it with my PS4, but I would assume it would be just as good and it's easy and enjoyable. The other thing is I've been trying it on my PC as well too. It does have a switch up top that you can switch in between your PS5, PS4, PC. And I've had no problems. I haven't had any problems with any of my games being recognized. It was instantly recognized by my computer. Didn't have to install or do anything, you know, that was a hassle for it whatsoever. And I know I'm boasting about it. If I have to bring up one thing that I wish it had, it was weight.
Okay.
And it feels like in my hand, it feels very durable. It feels strong. I love the materials that it's made out of. It's very comfortable. But I think I like a controller that has some weight to it. And it feels like it would be more durable if it was a little bit heftier. Like when I hold it, it's pretty light. But I'm also afraid to drop it versus something that has some weight to it where if I accidentally drop it, like I know it's going to survive. This one, I'm not going to test it. That's like one test I will not try on this thing is a drop test.
Yeah.
First of all, right. I do not throw my controllers in anger. I do not get like gamer rage like that. If I get angry, I know how to gently put myself down. So in any cases, if it ever comes out of my hand, it's by accidental dropping. I'm not going to try that on this. And it's not to say that I don't think it would survive, but I think it's a mental thing for me that because it feels so lightweight, it doesn't feel like it could handle that. And that is my concern.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Like and the other thing that I really want to test out too. So I really, I haven't gotten a chance to, even though that was one of my intentions, because I had this for like 3 weeks now. I got it just before Thanksgiving, was my Steam Deck. So if you have the Steam Deck, you know, it doesn't really have a USB port, which is what is required for this to be able to be used. But I do have, I still don't know how to pronounce this company's name. I do not have the official Steam Deck docking station, but I do have the JSAUX docking station, which is compatible with this. I've had this since October. I bought it on my own, not a review one. And it's $50. It does have the USB on the back. So that's the one thing I haven't been able to try is try it on my Steam Deck, see how that works. As much as I love the portableness of the Steam Deck, sometimes I just want to use a controller, and that's kind of why I've been using my phone and my PS4 controller. But if I can manage to use this and adapt it for this, this would be awesome. So I can probably give an update on that when I get around to it and running that through the ringers. But for what this controller is built for, your PlayStation, PC, I'm impressed. I really am. I really do love it. It's just that is my one gripe, is just I wish it felt heavier in my hands. I wish it had a little bit more weight to it. Whereas compared to my C40, there's a noticeable difference in the weight there. Like
Absolutely.
This feels closer to, yeah, which this feels closer to the weight of, you know, my standard PS4 controller, which I've dropped that thing a lot and I've broken some because of it. And I think that's where that paranoia comes from, is that I'm afraid if I ever accidentally drop this. It's not cheap.
Yeah. You got more?
No, you can go right ahead.
Yeah, I love it. And I think that we have had the pleasure and the blessing of checking out a lot of controllers throughout the years, right? So whether you're looking at your, whether it's the Gambit or the C40 or the Series 2 or the standard, you know, Xbox controller, which is still really good. And then now you have the Pro BFG. I recall watching a video recently and this guy was doing a rating video for different controllers. And he was going through the cheapest thing he can find online was like 20, 30 bucks all the way to the most expensive thing that you can buy, right? The most expensive controller right now is set to release very soon. I think that's the Razer. That's $250, right? That's coming up very soon. I think that's January.
So.
Don't quote me on that. But I mean, that's $250. My thing is at $250, you should have every single thing that's going to make this controller last a very long time built into the controller. Now, the only thing that I have to say that maybe it may seem negative about the Pro BFG is the fact that we're at a stage now where the technology for us to no longer have stick drift in the controllers, you can put them in the controllers. And I don't think it's in this one. And that seems like it's an uninformed, opinion. It's not, because I reached out to them and I asked them and they don't have Hall Effect sticks in this controller. Now, does that make the controller a bad controller? Absolutely not. It's an excellent controller and provides a lot of value at $170 plus, right? It provides a lot of value for everything that you're getting. And it is one of the best controllers on the market today by way of not just design, but who it's competing against. It's really the Xbox controller and then what Victrix makes. Victrix didn't just get on the scene. As you know, Danielle, they've been making stuff for a very long time. And when you look at their arcade sticks and all the other stuff that they have on the market, and then they decide to introduce to us the Gambit last year, which is the best Xbox controller after the Xbox controller, the main one, right? So like when you take that into account, and there's other companies that make great controllers, but as individuals are finding out that, you know, this is not a new rodeo thing for Victrix because they've been making things for a long time and they have in-house engineers. My only thing is like, please, next one that you make, just make it compete with the Gilly Kit, because now you're competing with some other individuals now. You're competing with Gilly Kit because they have Hall Effects. Those sticks are not going to wear out. You're competing with 8-Bit Do, okay? And then the Razer one, the guy in a recent interview, in a recent review that I watched, he said friction-free sticks, but he didn't necessarily mention if they had Hall Effects or not. And that's going to be a big deal for controllers moving forward. And those companies that decide to put those things in the controller, they're going to see more turnaround for them. Even if you make a secondary one where, so now Victrix, Gambit was last year, Pro BFG is this year. Next year, you might see a Pro BFG 2, right? And this is not of sources that I know or anything like that. Let's just play it out. Next year, you see a Pro BFG 2 or 2024, and then it has the Hall Effects and all the other things, the bells and whistles that we really want to see in controllers, because nobody's really making a argument anymore from what I've seen about using a keyboard and mouse versus a controller. I'm seeing things in profiles now that people are saying that they're proud to use controllers on their PC platform. That's what I'm seeing. I don't know what anybody else is seeing, but that's what I'm seeing. So at the end of the day, this is exciting time for anybody that uses any type of peripheral for their systems. And mainly if you're going to be on the PC anyway, and even when you look at the Call of Duty, you know, recent, the Modern Warfare 2, there's a lot of controller players on there that are using Steam. And so it's just the nature of where we are. So making the controller even more durable and even adding additional warranty, because I know that's a big thing too, because as we look at the controllers, it's 2-year warranty, 3-year warranty. People are happy about that. And the only controller I've really experienced stick drift in is the Astro C40. And you can replace those things because the modules are different and other aftermarket companies, they make other things for it. But I never really experienced that until the C40. And that says a lot about how good controllers can hold out. But we're in a different place now. So Pro BFG, it's a really good controller. It's about $180.
$179.99. And you can pre-order it now. PDP.com.
Yeah, shout outs to them. It's a really great controller. It does have the precision sticks built into the controller. I'm not trying to like be a downer about it, but I know that individuals are going to say, hey, in the event that they get stick drift, they're going to complain about it. But just know that the controller is well built. I do not plan to drop it, I promise. But it is a pretty dope controller. Any other thoughts on that?
Yeah, other than that, I mean, for me, the weight thing, the weight issue is obviously a very personal thing, personal preference for me. If you're not, like, if you're the type of person who likes to just collect controllers or you go for the aesthetically pleasing ones, and I'm not saying we're talking about, you know, some very serious gaming here, but I also know that there's people who just love to collect controllers. Hard to say that one. And they just like the way something looks. And I definitely think this is something, if you're just on a visual aspect of it, to add to it. I mean, it's very sleek. It has a nice black matte look to it. The texturized grips on it, it feels nice. It's not like fighting to compete with the rest of it. The purple is such a nice accent color that complements it really, really well.
Absolutely.
I know we kind of lightly mentioned it about the customization. Mine is just the standard that this is the way that I like it, but it does come with the fight pad that's really easy to install. That is like one single, it comes with a screwdriver. If you buy the case, it has a nice case, comes with a little driver to pull it out. The fight stick part is one whole module. You have different types of D-pads. You have different joysticks for the different heights. They all feel really, really nice. The one thing I think is kind of common throughout, I think a lot of controllers, I haven't come across a single controller that hasn't had this issue, but this comes with heavy use, is I would like to see how long the joysticks really last before it starts seeing that wear, that tear, and how easy it will be to, get some replacements in for it or covers or anything like that from PDP. That will, complement this very well as well, too. If that is your thing, that's what you like. You go for looks more than just full function. But this is definitely something nice to add on to that collection, and just everything just matches the way that it comes across. So aesthetically, it's very pleasing to look at, very nice to have within your collection or as a display. And on top of that, it's just been a lot of fun to use. And I really don't have any other complaints about it other than just a little bit heavier. All I would personally want.
Yeah, no, it's just really constructive. Like, and it comes with a case, right? All the stuff is neatly packed in the case. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful package. Look at that. It's beautiful. Now, but I'm going to tell you though, for $250 with the new Razer one coming out, you don't get a case. Okay. So
I shouldn't have snickered at that.
I'm putting it out there. Hey, $250, no case. I mean, come on. Can we get a case? I'm gonna be nice. Can we get a case, please? Can we? So $250, you get no case. You know, some stuff even at $350, you don't get a case. Okay. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not,
I know.
You just don't get a case. Like, what? Hello? Right? So, but anyway, I think we've done a beautiful job here today with this episode covering the BFG as well as the Game Awards. Danielle, any final thoughts before we get out of here?
Final thoughts. I am ready for Christmas. That's my final thoughts. I know Christmas is a couple of weeks away. Then it's followed by the new year. I have a lot of hopes. I want to end this, like, we have, what, 3 weeks left in this year? So ending it strong, well, that's where I'm at. So we can start 2023 strong. I'm looking forward to everything. I'm amazed that we're at episode 631. I'm so appreciative and grateful and thankful for everybody who listens, who checks us out, who you left any reviews. Definitely go and do those things if you haven't yet. We appreciate it so much. And yeah, that's kind of like my thoughts. I'm just in a feel-good mood right now.
I love that. I love that. No, it's all good. Appreciate all the love and support throughout the year for sure. Game Awards was amazing, and we've gotten a lot of love this year. And I am super, super grateful. We're definitely grateful for that. So no, that's all I have. I'm with you on there. Just being grateful for the opportunities that we get to experience every year. You know, I'm grateful for that. And heading into the holiday season. So where can they find you, Daniela?
You can find me on my socials at Miss DJM. And where can they find you, Andrew?
You can find me at Uriah, U-R-I-Y-Y-A, doing a heavy, heavy push on IG right now. And yeah, we'll see you guys next time. Take care.
Bye, guys.